Good afternoon. The time is 2:37. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, January 25th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we heard the president speak now for a while, and as we try to digest that, a little roughage might be in order. And so we'll talk about healthy eating, New Year's resolutions today, and ways that you can eat healthier in the studio to help us with that. Liz Wybreck and Ana Maria Moisa of the Nutrition Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Liz is the center's assistant director and the food adventures educator. Her passion for nutrition and whole foods began in childhood organic gardening with her father. She has taught Growing Healthy Kids, a preschool food nutrition program in Florida, introducing whole foods to younger kids and emphasizing the importance of physical activity. Ana Maria is a licensed nutritionist with expertise in functional foods as preventative and therapeutic medicine. She counsels patients on dietary strategies for treating gastrointestinal disorders, eating disorders, obesity, heart disease, autoimmune conditions, and other chronic illnesses. She's the author of The Gut Microbiome, Exploring the Connection Between Microbes, Diet, and Health, published in 2017. She leads workshops on nutrition and gastrointestinal health, plant-based diets, and a mindful eating approach to weight management. If you have a question in this foreshortened edition of Vox Pop, now's the time to call. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Liz and Ana Maria, welcome to the show, finally.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, I'll start by saying that we had no control over this. And so I will tell you that we will have you on for a full hour at some point.
Wonderful.
In the meantime, you brought some delicious food. And so, Liz, why don't you tell us what you brought, and then we'll talk about what it is that you do.
Okay. So we brought a potato salad, and that is a prebiotic that Ana Maria is going to talk about.
What does that mean?
So I'll let Ana Maria go into detail on that.
Okay. Do you want to tell us what's in it first and then
sure.
tell me why it's prebiotic?
So we have We have potatoes in there. We have some green beans. We have some grated carrots,
yeah.
red onions, a little bit of egg, and mayonnaise in there.
Delicious, by the way.
Thank
we had
you.
Plenty of time to eat it. So why is it prebiotic, Ana Maria?
So when you cook a potato and then you cool it like you would to make a potato salad,
yeah.
it actually changes the structure of the starch. It's a process called retrogradation. And that basically what it means is it turns it into a digestible starch into a non-digestible starch so that the body can't break it down. And it goes into our colon where it can feed our good gut bacteria. So a prebiotic is just a food component that feeds healthy probiotic bacteria.
And it becomes that way by not cooking it or cooking it?
Raw potatoes do have resistant starches, but most of us don't really want to be eating raw potatoes.
Yeah.
So when you cook it, that does change the starch, but then you can cool it, and then it becomes that resistant starch just by making it a cold potato salad as opposed to having like a hot potato meal.
Very interesting. And well, Liz, what else did you bring?
So we brought some vegetable wraps, and we put those in rice paper. So
First of all, I love these.
Great.
This was great.
Great. So they're super easy. So just take a bunch of vegetables. I want all different colors in there, and a little bit of avocado, and then of course there's the sauce that you get to dip it in.
Could drink it.
So that's soy sauce and rice vinegar, a little bit of sesame oil, and garlic and ginger, because garlic and ginger should be in everything, I think.
I agree.
So we did some rice paper vegetable rolls. Let's see, we brought some Southern Indian-styled red lentils, and that is red lentils cook really quick,
yeah.
So it's a nice thing. Quick thing to brown lentils can be a lot longer to cook, so this is quicker. There's some zucchini in there, some cilantro. It's made with coconut milk.
Mm.
So it has a sweetness to it, and then all kinds of spices. So we have turmeric and cumin and a couple of other things.
It looks and tastes authentic. I would say it's a little milder than some of the Indian dishes we've had on this program. Delicious.
Wonderful.
Well done. And then there's dessert.
Well, we brought some truffles along. So those have almond butter in there, some cocoa, walnuts, honey, and we rolled those in coconut.
Mm, and so nice and so decadent and great that you brought all that food. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Before we get to the calls, and the calls are starting to come in, Liz Weibrecht, tell us what it is the Healthy Kids program was all about, the Growing Healthy Kids.
So Growing Healthy Kids, I did that down in Florida when I lived there.
Yeah.
But what we do up here is very, very similar. It's a program called Food Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So we go around and teach people how to cook whole foods. So, and that includes all kinds of vegetables and legumes and beans, nuts. Sometimes I can have them in the class if there's not any allergies.
Which is a lot of classes now. You can't do that.
A lot of classes. But there are, you know, there are alternatives. So part of the teaching is figuring out, is letting people know that there are alternatives.
Yeah.
And they can have fun doing it, and it's delicious. And it's quick and inexpensive.
You said the key word, fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Are you surprised that there is so little resistance to this?
I'm not surprised. Usually a lot of other people are surprised. So if I'm in a classroom with children and parents find out after, you cooked what? And you ate what? So it's really, it opens everybody's eyes, and it's in the classes really teach an openness to food, that we do get into our set ways with certain dishes or routines, and it's important to realize that you can break from that or be open to that and different foods, and not to cut things out. So I have a lot of people that come in and say, well, I don't like this. And I say, well, you may not like it cooked, or you may not like it raw, or you may like it in something and not by itself. So it's really just understanding not to cut out whole food groups.
So you're partially a psychologist.
Sometimes, I guess.
We are joined today by Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moise of the Nutrition Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And Anna Maria, you travel around and you lead workshops as well. What sort of things do you teach people?
So I teach obviously a lot about gut health. I published this book on the gut microbiome.
Why is that important?
So the gut microbiome is just sort of, I see it as the forefront approach to preventative healthcare, especially when it comes to using nutrition, because so much of what we eat can really affect these gut bugs that live in our colon. And
they're a good thing.
Well, they can be, but if they become out of balance, it can be problematic. And so what we're seeing now is that this gut health is really tied into a lot of chronic diseases. So, you know, heart disease, even obesity, metabolic diseases, autoimmune disorders are really linked to this imbalance in gut bacteria. And trying to figure out what sort of lifestyle choices and dietary choices might be causing those imbalances can lead us towards, you know, a healthier path.
Well, we got a call on the air already. Hang on a minute. There we go. We'll get to the calls in just a moment, I promise. You see the title, The Gut Microbiome, and immediately the first reaction would be, well, this is very complicated stuff. How do you simplify it so people understand this is about a way of living and a way of eating?
So I think that being able to focus on nutrition and understand that that is the most major factor that will influence and shape gut bacteria allows people to sort of have a sense of control around it and know that they can make choices on a day-to-day basis that really impacts their health.
You've heard the show. We take calls, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have about 13, 14 minutes left here, so let's take a few calls. By the way, this one came in via email from Christine. And Christine in Water Valley would like to hear our guests, that's you, your spin on the keto diet.
Oh, that's a really controversial one. So a ketogenic diet basically refers to a fairly high-fat diet. And, I tend to be cautious, as many, you know, many nutritionists are about fads. And I think that there is some interesting research in the ketogenic diet. I don't tend to recommend it at all to my patients because I think that it's a very sort of extreme lifestyle. Typically, you would want to be getting about 60% of your calories from fat on a day-to-day basis. And I think that there is right now, at least in animal research, from what we know, high-fat diets can be disruptive to the gut microbiome depending on the types of fats that you're consuming. So I guess I would be fairly cautious to recommend the ketogenic diet to the average individual.
Liz, you want to weigh in?
Well, I think that I don't know specifically about that diet, but really what we try to teach is eating, you know, whole foods and not necessarily going on certain fads.
Yeah.
And encompassing all of the food groups. So, and I think in the U.S. diet, we see a lot of people who are very protein heavy, which lends to a lot of fats. So it's incorporating more vegetables into your diet to keep everything healthy.
Do you think that the food pyramid's well orchestrated, or do you think it should be changed?
Well, now it's changed to the MyPlate.
I'm sorry, what is that?
So the MyPlate is, they have, it's actually, it used to be the pyramid shape.
Right.
Now it's a plate. Oh. And it's kind of, it's a good visual for people, I think, because when you're thinking of food, you want to be able to think of what's on your plate. And I like the divisions. Basically, half of your plate should be fruits and vegetables. So protein sources and fats are identified. Fats aren't even identified on the MyPlate anymore,
okay.
which is kind of nice. It should be, you know, they should be minimal. Things like olive oil, healthy fats. We had coconut milk that was in the red lentils today. So things like that are going to be more of a balance for your body. And learning how to cook whole foods, that's a big part. I think a lot of people don't have time. And when you learn how to do particular things, you can work it into your routine, and then it's not so overwhelming, but little steps at a time.
All right. So we went from a pyramid to a pie chart without a pie. All right, let's take some calls. Our number is 800-348-2551. Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moisa are here. Margo in Saratoga Springs. Margo, you're first.
Hi. Yes, I just have to say I am so happy that you're having this program, and I want people to be aware of a lot of stuff. And one thing is, just eating natural food instead of going to say diet food is much better for us. And I know the panel would agree. But I would say that in 1949, I was told by my brother that no fat sister was going to his college graduation, and
ouch.
But that was the best thing I ever heard because I was very unhappy, and he encouraged me, and I had a doctor who gave me the diabetic, the 1200 calories.
Yeah.
So I ate everything according to that every day and counted every calorie, and it changed my whole life.
That's
and in
great.
19 when he graduated, I weighed 136 pounds, which in 1950 was the right size for my body build.
Nice.
Great.
And I just am saying that for encouraging to anyone who's having it. It can be done, but it takes discipline.
That's nice. Margo, thanks
And
for
thanks
the
for having these people on. They're wonderful, especially after what we had to listen to before.
Well, we'll have them
Enjoy
on
the
for
day,
a
ladies.
Full hour.
Thank you, Margo.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margo. And over to Jesse. Jesse and Troy, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question about sugars, and specifically, you know, I feel like you hear sometimes that things like maple syrup and honey and dates are healthier sugars for you than, say, regular table sugar. But it seems to me like chemically these things are pretty similar and affecting your body in a pretty similar way. So I was wondering if you could clarify that for me.
Well, so there are actually some chemical differences between these sugars, even within natural sugars. So So basically, you'll take something like agave syrup, which you didn't mention, but is one of those that's sort of out there and encouraged by some health proponents because of its low glycemic impact, which means that it doesn't tend to affect blood glucose in the same way as maybe table sugar might. But the reason why it's low glycemic is because it's very high in fructose. And so it has, similarly to, you know, beverages that have high fructose corn syrup, agave, which is natural, has a high amount of fructose in it. So that might be one that you want to avoid, even though it is a natural sweetener. When it comes to honey, you know, there might be some added health components with honey. Maple syrup, if you use, you know, a less processed maple syrup, there might be some added micronutrients in there, you know, compared to maybe table sugar. But when you're looking at a lot of sugars, they're going to affect the blood glucose in a similar way. I would mostly recommend that with any kind of refined sugars, if you're consuming them, you know, after a balanced meal that has protein, fiber, some healthy fats, that is going to slow down the absorption of, you know, whatever, you know, hopefully moderately sized dessert that you might want to have after your meal.
Jesse, thanks for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Liz Weibrecht and Anna Maria Moise of the Nutrition Center in Great Barrington are with us. And let's go to Rhea. Where are you calling from, Rhea?
Hi, I'm from New Paltz, New York.
You're on.
It's wonderful listening to your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me up. About 20 years ago, I had a radical Y and Roux surgery where my body actually suffers from malabsorption. And I eat whole grain. I have difficulty with protein. But I suffer from intestinal pain when my gut gets out of balance. So, you know, gaseous kind of pain. So I'm wondering, what could I eat? I find it very hard to digest crunchy vegetables. What can I eat that would put my gut back in balance when it goes out and I get those terrible pains in my stomach?
Well, you know, without actually having a more in-depth conversation with you and understanding a bit more about your history and the, you know, the details of your symptoms, I would say that if when someone is experiencing those types of gastrointestinal issues where they're having gas and bloating and discomfort, specifically maybe after a meal, that might be more of an issue of looking at foods that potentially could be increasing the amount of fermentation that you're having within your bowel. And specifically, it might be indication of increased bacterial fermentation in the stomach and the small intestine. So that might be where the imbalance is coming from. And I would usually work with those symptoms to reduce foods that increase fermentation. So those could be things like cruciferous vegetables that you're eating. I'm not sure which crunchy vegetables you might be consuming, but there are some of these really highly fermentable foods that can be problematic. And I'd actually say eliminating those could alleviate some of your symptoms.
Right. Recently they put me on Augmentin and I was in agony, and they've now started me on a probiotic, which seems to have helped.
Yes.
But when it goes out, it just goes out and I am miserable. So I'm just, I eat whole grains. I don't eat a lot of vegetables. For that very reason, because I have a hard time digesting.
Well, some whole grains may also contain, wheat will contain fructans, which is one of those highly fermentable carbs. So you can look into FODMAPs, FODMAPS. Those are these highly fermentable foods that I'm talking about, and see if you have sensitivity to those particular food groups.
Rhea, thanks for the call. Now we zip over to Tom. Tom, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Gardner.
All right, you're on.
Down the road from New Paltz.
Okay.
Hello, Liz, Anna Maria. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
I'm a guy, and I just don't like to spend a lot of time preparing food. And I made a list here of things that I buy, which are healthy, high in fiber and minerals, vitamins, that are easy to buy and easy to store and easy to eat. Radishes, cucumber, green or red peppers, carrots, leaf lettuce, grapes, apples, bananas, dried figs, hummus, and raised, roasted unsalted mixed nuts. And for a treat, I like the dark chocolate-covered almonds.
Me too.
That sounds amazing.
Really? Well, I see some nods in here, Tom.
Easy.
So
you see,
right.
You just open the fridge and you grab something.
Right.
You don't have to spend it. You know, you don't even need to read about how to prepare them. They're in any supermarket.
I think that's great.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a key thing is figuring out what your lifestyle is, understanding it and owning it, and then figuring out how you can incorporate health and what you ingest into that lifestyle.
You know, we have a minute left. So, Liz, why don't you tell us the most important wisdom you have about diet and nutrition that you can do in 30 seconds.
Wow. I think eating a rainbow of colors is really, really important. I think that learning to cook very simply and having the tools in your kitchen to make sure that you can prepare those things easily with fun and joy makes it a lot better.
All right. And how about you, Anna Maria?
What's the question?
What wisdom can you impart in 20 seconds that you really think is important?
Okay, so nutrition is individual. There's no one diet for everybody. I enjoy counseling because I like the problem-solving aspect. If anybody does want to work with an individual counselor, I would suggest that's kind of the best approach to figuring out what changes are best for you individually.
Well, you know, you were both very concise. Expediency is the mother of invention, I guess, in this case. How do people find out more about the Nutrition Center in Great Barrington?
Well, they can give us a call. So it's 413-429-8110. We're on the web at thenutritioncenter.org. So there's a the in front of there. So
thenutritioncenter.org.
Thenutritioncenter.org. And we're happy to talk to you. And I should say that a lot of counseling is either covered by insurance or it is, or we do have very reasonable self-pay options.
Well, you were both great. And I promise you, we will come back and have you here on a day when there isn't a press conference, if there is such a thing. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine for over 20 years. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine and spirits retailer for over 40 years, providing products from classic to new labels, spirithaus.com. And Pekarsky, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarskys.com. Thanks again to Liz Weibreck and Anna Maria Moise of the Nutrition Center in Great Barrington for being here. Thank you for listening and for bearing with us. We'll do a full version of this show down the road. Thanks to Kayleen for answering the calls. Zach Malloy, our engineer. Jim Lavoul is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you.